This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After the U.S. House passed a resolution of condemnation of President Trump's recent tweets concerning four Democratic minority women in Congress, Democrats were able to kill a Republican challenge to something the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said on the House floor shortly before the vote, in which she accused the president of being racist.
These comments from the White House are disgraceful and disgusting, and these comments are racist.
Republicans had said her remarks violated the rules of decorum in the House. This morning, the president's son, Eric Trump, says he agrees with his father's message when it comes to the four congresswomen.
We are blessed to live in this country, and if you're not happy about it, I like his message. Leave.
He spoke on Fox. Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman's to be sentenced in a federal courtroom today, and this is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Crescent Tools. Most toolboxes contain a crescent wrench, which tradesmen and DIYers have trusted for more than a century. But what many call a crescent wrench isn't always the real deal. The reason? True crescent wrenches are made by Crescent Tools, which started producing the adjustable wrench in 1907. However, few realize that Crescent is the brand, not the tool. Nor do they understand that Crescent makes more than just wrenches. Brendan Walsh, Director of Product Management at Crescent Tools.
What a person thinks is a crescent wrench may just be an adjustable wrench, and there's a difference. We've innovated the crescent wrench to meet the needs of today's tool user and have expanded to offer a solid crew of tools in addition to wrenches.
While wrenches are their signature products, Crescent manufactures 2,800 tools including files, snips, storage cabinets, and measuring tapes, establishing Crescent Tools as one of the most respected professional hand tool brands in the world. So, the next time you reach into your toolbox, check to see if it's actually a crescent wrench or an imposter. For more information, visit www.crescenttool.com.
A social media giant is still trying to work out details of a bold new plan for money. USA Radio's Wendy King has more.
A Facebook executive has defended the social network's plan to create a digital currency. Stephen Marcus told the Senate Banking Committee that the Libra project is still in the planning stages.
We will take the time to get this right. We expect the review of Libra to be among the most extensive ever. We are fully committed to working with regulators here and around the world. And let me be clear and unambiguous. Facebook will not offer the Libra digital currency until we have fully addressed regulators concerned and received appropriate approvals.
Two nonprofit immigration groups are suing the Trump administration over its new restriction on migrants seeking asylum. The White House now saying anyone who passes through another country before reaching the United States border will be ineligible for asylum in the U.S. Find us online at usaradio.com.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A big shakeup at Planned Parenthood as the group's kicked out its president, Dr. Lena Wen. She's tweeted that she's leaving her position after less than a year on the job. Wen says she learned about it herself at a secret meeting despite being in, quote, good faith negotiations about her departure. And she says this is all over philosophical differences on the direction and future of the Planned Parenthood organization. Alexis McGill Johnson has been named acting president. You may not see any more ads in Uber or Lyft cars in New York City. A federal appeals court ruling yesterday that drivers can be banned from displaying advertisements, a victory for millions of passengers who call those ads very annoying. And HBO's Game of Thrones, slashing its way to a record-setting 32 Emmy nominations for its eighth and final season, it eclipsed the all-time series record of 27 nods earned by NYPD Blue back in 1994. In the overall tally contest among outlets, HBO got a whopping 137 nominations, and Netflix, which last year ended HBO's 17-year reign to win the most Emmy noms, well, it was bumped to second this year with 117. As for the traditional networks, they were way behind. NBC got 58 nods, CBS 43, Fox 18. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, are you starting to get to that point that maybe you can handle a day or two without politics, maybe? It is absolutely gotten unhinged. But, ladies and gentlemen, don't take it so seriously, okay? This, too, shall pass. I know, like something awful that you ate that's just hanging around. But trust me, it will get through. Just hang in there. Adam Carrington joins us now. Adam is the assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. Adam, do you kind of feel the same way, that maybe we should call time out on politics for a couple days? Maybe cooler heads might prevail.
I guess that, I don't know if that would be good for my job or not, but I got to admit, personally, yes, even I get to the point where maybe it might be better for some people to watch baseball or take the kid to the park or do something else. And mainly just to say politics is important, but it shouldn't become your religion. It shouldn't become the thing that defines every relationship you have, even though, of course, I obviously want to say your citizenship matters. You should be deeply interested in politics, but you can have both. You can be a citizen and other things at the same time.
Yeah, for me, I'm grateful for Fridays because that's my Sabbath, Friday to Saturday night, and I disconnect from everything. Of course, the tough thing is come Saturday night, then I've got, 150 million emails that I've got to evacuate out of the system. But it's a small price to pay, but like you said, it kind of gives you an opportunity to clear the mind. We're going to talk, speaking of which, yes, we are going to talk politics. We're going to talk because there was a lot of excitement on the House floor last night. But before we get to that, news that John Paul Stevens, former Supreme Court Justice, passed away at 99 in Fort Lauderdale, just south of me. And, boy, what a rich history, huh?
Yes. One thing I did not know about him that actually isn't political is that he saw Babe Ruth called home run in person. I don't know how many baseball fans.
Yeah, wow.
That Ruth allegedly, he was a huge baseball fan, Stevens was, and that he was in person to see Babe Ruth point in the direction he was going to hit the home run and then hit it. Mm-hmm. At least that's what's claimed that happened. But no, he was certainly a very influential jurist, appointed by President Ford. Was on the court for a very long time up until 2010 and wrote some very influential opinions. I don't know that I often agreed with him on some of the major opinions that came down, but certainly a giant on the court on the last quarter century or so.
And a bit of a surprise because, of course, here he is. He's put in place by a Republican, and you think, okay, there's going to be maybe some conservative viewpoint, but he seemed to be, after everything was all said and done, a little more liberally inclined. Is that fair to say?
Very fair to say. And I would say two things about that. One, he was a bit, every once in a while he would do something. In fact, he was one of the votes to uphold the constitutionality of banning flag burning, which was a bit of a surprise. But in generally was.
Yeah, because this is a former military guy, right? I mean, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, Scalia, of all people, was the fifth vote to say that the Constitution doesn't allow to bans on flag burning. But what I'd say about Stevens, too, is I think a way to think about him is to say that also when he came into the court, there wasn't a very organized, vibrant, thoughtful, originalism, textualism, conservative-like legal movement. And, mm-hmm. and it was putting people like him on the court by Republicans and how unwieldy and unpredictable that had become that I think was one of the jump starts for starting the Federalist Society, starting other ways of coherently thinking about training, incubating, and educating lawyers and judges to think about how to read the Constitution, to think about what it meant originally. And I think that, you know, judges like him were really an impetus to do that and really spawned going in the 80s, 90s, and today what I think is a much higher caliber and more well-developed breed of judges that have really thought about these things and are also, to be honest, a little more predictable, not entirely, but a little more predictable when Republicans put them on the bench.
Well, especially when you, I think what all America wants at the end of the day is what are the rules of play? You know, what are the rules here that we're supposed to follow? And when you have judges that are activist judges and claim, as the former president did, that the Constitution is elastic and a matter of cultural interpretation, well, then, you know, we start missing some things here, and we don't know what to count on.
Exactly. And the whole, you know, a big thing that we're built on is the rule of law, mm-hmm. not the rule of men. And that means that texts, written statutes, written constitutions are supposed to dictate to our rulers and to us, not the other way around. We're not to manipulate them to do what we want. They're supposed to tell us what we're allowed and not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can have that with judges is if judges set their own, to the degree possible, their own wills aside, their own wishes aside, what they wish would happen. And by the way, John Paul Stevens said we should repeal the Second Amendment after he had left the court, one of his more extreme positions. Good judges should have to set that aside and say, as a voter, I might do one thing, but as a judge, I have to implement the will of the people as expressed through the Constitution and through the laws. And anytime you get away from that, you start to be a mini legislator, not a judge that's meant to apply the law. And you're right, that otherwise you get the problem of there's just no predictability.
You got our southern border. You got the chaos of immigration right now. Perfect case in point. A couple of minutes left for this particular segment, Adam, and I wanted to address SCOTUS and how they missed the mark on the citizenship question. Most Americans are saying, hey, what's the big whoop here? I mean, why? What is the problem in us knowing who is in this country, legal or illegal?
Right, and I the majority was kind of strange in this sense that it was almost not always the same majority. There's this long opinion with different sections, and Justice Roberts wrote the whole thing, but some judges joined parts of it, some didn't. And the reason for that is I think it did some very good things. It did uphold the idea that asking the census question is not inherent. The citizenship question is not wrong. Inherently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think things got a little more questionable is it merely said the government did not do a good enough job explaining why it was doing it. In other words, that it needed to give better and more sort of, in their opinion, honest reasons for why they were asking the question. And actually what they did is they said, go back to the lower court, make your case and come back up, which I think, you know, in some ways presented massive time questions, but I think it was a bit of a mixed ruling on that. It upheld that you can ask it. It didn't give the government much deference in why it said it did it.
Of course, this report from a since passed away conservative consultant citing in his explanation, his summary, that this would be an advantage to the Republican Party, which really when you look at, you know, I didn't have much problem with that because there's been a disadvantage to the Republican Party, advantage Democrats, because of what previously had been set into motion. So I didn't see that as that much of an offensive statement. But it seems to me that maybe some of the court did.
Yeah, the bigger disconnect they took on is why the Commerce Department said they wanted to ask the question was to help the Justice Department enforce the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. And kind of the problem with that is there hasn't really been a voting rights violation, act violation prosecution right. The entire Trump administration. Here's what I think the Trump
I'll tell you what, we've got to go to break. We got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there when we come back. Adam Carrington, stay with us.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of Black RifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hey, Professor Martinez. Yeah, it's Dave in the back row. I have a question for you. Yeah, it's thank you. Who's really using racist language? Is it President Trump or Representative Presley from Massachusetts?
If you are not prepared to come to that table and to represent that voice, don't come. Because we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't need Muslims that don't want to be a Muslim voice. We don't need queers that don't want to be a queer voice. And if you're worried about being marginalized, then
to me that whether you're worried of being marginalized, they'll marginalize you for you because meanwhile you got to figure out, I mean, everybody's scrambling going, what is a black voice, Adam Carrington? What's a brown voice? You know, I mean, having a name, last name like Martinez, I've got hit with this all the time, especially when the first syndicators came to me and said, hey, I think we can syndicate your radio show. I said, well, why is that? And he says, well, we've never heard of a conservative Hispanic before. I had to laugh. I go, you'd be surprised. You know, the majority of Hispanics were family oriented, hardworking, believe in small government and responsibility, you know, that kind of deal. I go, so, you know, I'm kind of shocked, but that was their perception. So, so maybe I should talk to, the congresswoman and say, okay, how does a brown voice sound?
Right. I think this gets into the bigger problem within, especially within the Democratic Party, this sort of little civil war you're seeing within them about, the whole question of identity and the idea that you are defined, it seems at times almost entirely by the color of your skin, by your place in, by where you were born, things along those lines.
And where you went to school. Yeah. All
where
that.
You went to school. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what this is frustratingly is a denial of, individuality. And the denial that there, and not only a denial of individuality, but a denial of, I think, to a degree of truth, that yes, where you come from, you know, can affect your perspective, but that there are truths about justice, truths about this country, truths about the good that are ascertainable and unitable around, regardless of where you come from, who you are, who your parents were, and that you don't necessarily have to identify that way to be able to participate in American society or to have a voice in American society. And I think that's one of the problematic nature of, and I think that's turning off a lot of people to the Democratic Party, is that kind of appeal.
Well, it's antithetical to the spirit of people of faith, certainly off the bat, but for those also that believe in the American ideal of individual responsibility, you know, what is happening here is that, you know, I've called it the spirit of invalidation that's been running amok for, you know, the last decade at least. It's been, you know, around, you know, in the margins, but now it's totally gone mainstream to such a degree that, if you do not agree with what I'm saying, you're kicked to the curb, you're invalidated, shut up, you know, is, Senator Hirono from Hawaii stated, you know, you're not to participate in the debate and in the marketplace of ideas anymore, right?
Yeah, and I would say a thing that I think is similarly problematic, and I think along similar lines, is it's who's speaking, not what's being said.
Mm, yes.
And I think that's a massive problem, that certain people have a right on certain issues to speak and others do not. But what the problem with making that a sort of checkmate on someone else's opinion is we actually don't have that free exchange of ideas. We don't have the claim that it's the ideas that matter. It's who's making the best arguments. It's who's closest to the truth. It's the idea that your credibility comes from who you are, not from what you say. And I think that's really debilitating in a government that's supposed to be based on consent, because then it becomes a kind of aristocracy.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a kind of elitism where the elites are the ones that are able to speak, however those elites are defined, and everyone else is the commoner who can't do so. And I think that's a massive problem when we have a government of, by, and for the people.
Well, the thing is such a joke, Adam, is if it's only the elites, guess what happens? I mean, even the elites get reduced to their lowest common denominator, and you have now introduced the culture to mass mediocrity.
Mass mediocrity, and I would say ever-shrinking number of people who can speak. I think
right.
the clip you were saying, it almost reminds me, I don't want to get too historical on you, but, you know, ancient Sparta, the Greek, you know, if anyone's seen the movie 300,
right,
where it was sort of lionized. But what happened with them is they kept reducing the number of citizens. They kept making tighter and tighter who could participate in the political society, to the point where they had almost all slaves and everyone and a very tiny number of people in charge, and they collapsed. Mm-hmm. This ever-shrinking amount of who can speak is a massive problem if you want to live in a government run by the consent of the people that believes in equal rights for all.
So, Professor, what do you tell the kids in school after a weekend of tweets from President Trump that has lit up everything on the Beltway?
What I try to do is go back to the principles of the American founding, go back to the principles of Western civilization, and give them a context to think about that, and to start with the idea that of the principles of the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, that they all have equal rights, and to take the arguments on their merits, and to, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of the president implying that some people that were born in the United States should go back to their country, but I think he all did make a reasonable point to say you can criticize political opponents as being outside what the American founding was about, as being outside of what American principles were. And what I tried to do is expose them to those principles and then say, now look at what these arguments, what arguments do you think are more within and without the pale of these commitments we've made as a country?
Mm-hmm. Well, the statements that these four women, the four congressmen have made, they've declared themselves as women of color. Okay, you know, let's bifurcate people one more time, so that makes them special. But they're saying they want equality, but no, they want special equality. And what the president said was, maybe you need to go back to your home country, and if you can fix it, then come back and teach us how. I mean, it's kind of like, hey, maybe it's time for a lesson for you to really understand America, and this is on the heels of our 243rd birthday, our Declaration of Independence. You know, all of a sudden, you know, red, white, and blue, Betsy Ross flag. I mean, patriotism is a problem in this country. And obviously, I think in part, and I don't know this directly, and I'm not trying to make excuses for the president. He's responsible for what he tweets. But I kind of, you know, empathize in a way that I'm sensing that maybe he just got increasingly frustrated, because this is a man, say what you want to say about President Trump, I believe he is inordinately patriotic.
Oh, yes. I think that the way the president has acted and what he has tweeted and said since those original tweets shows what he thinks is the best and most important argument. He has, downplayed that he told a certain American citizens to go back to their country, which, again, I don't know what that's supposed to mean for the ones that were born here. Yeah. But what he's emphasized is you need to love your country.
Right.
And you need to be committed to it, and that loving and being committed to America is not being loving and being committed to a certain race or a certain gender. It's being committed to certain principles, and it's perfectly legitimate to ask whether these congresswomen and anyone else is articulating principles within or without that. It's not being hateful to question those principles, to debate them and say whether they're outside the pale.
Right. Are you adding or taking away? But it seems that, you know, again, you know, just right before that, it was AOC throwing the race card on Nancy Pelosi, and the president defended Nancy Pelosi. She's no more racist. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Again, it goes back to that earlier point that we were talking about, the disqualification of the voices of America, whether they're black, brown, gay, whatever it is that I guess is the order of the day, right? So we've got to leave it there. Adam Carrington, assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. Adam, is always an honor and a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, always great to be on. Thank you for having me again.
You take care. All righty. Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards and your mortgage, but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts, and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding. Lending Corporation is a direct lender, and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now, 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Give them a call right now, 800-700-8068.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After the U.S. House passed a resolution of condemnation of President Trump's recent tweets concerning four Democratic minority women in Congress, Democrats were able to kill a Republican challenge to something the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said on the House floor shortly before the vote, in which she accused the president of being racist.
These comments from the White House are disgraceful and disgusting, and these comments are racist.
Republicans had said her remarks violated the rules of decorum in the House. This morning, the president's son, Eric Trump, says he agrees with his father's message when it comes to the four congresswomen.
We are blessed to live in this country, and if you're not happy about it, I like his message. Leave.
He spoke on Fox. Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman is to be sentenced in a federal courtroom today, and this is USA Radio News.
Did you know that the IRS is getting more aggressive these days? They're using private agencies to track you down and even started taking away passports. Don't wait. If you owe more than $10,000, take advantage of the Fresh Start Initiative, a program in place that can help you now. You can save thousands and possibly have your taxes forgiven. Join the thousands of taxpayers who've made the call to get protection from IRS collections. Call the experts at Oxford Tax Partners now about the Fresh Start program. If you qualify, it'll stop the IRS collection agencies from coming after you. Let the IRS negotiation experts at Oxford Tax Partners get you protected once and for all. Call the hotline now at 800-464-9191. That's 800-464-9191. There's help for those of you who owe $10,000 or more, but it's important that you take action before these programs change. Call the tax experts at Oxford Tax Partners for a free consultation now at 800-464-9191. 800-464-9191. That's 800-464-9191.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste in the difference. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Right now, Jenny Beth Martin is with us, president, co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots. Jenny Beth, how are we doing?
I am great. It's so good to be with you, Bill.
Always good to be with you. Now, Obamacare, back in the crosshairs, maybe we might just be able to finally get it off of, some sort of, histrionics and unplug the cord on this thing once and for all. It's been on life support ever since, it seems, President Trump took over office.
That is correct. And last week, there were federal judges who heard a case in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals about Obamacare. They're hearing a request essentially to repeal Obamacare because the individual mandate tax was made zero in the tax law.
Right.
And when the Supreme Court ruled on this before, Chief Justice wrote that without the tax penalty associated with the individual mandate, Obamacare goes beyond the scope of the federal government's constitutional powers.
Right.
Well, the fact is, our supporters at Tea Party Patriots always thought it went beyond the constitutional powers, and we still want to see it repealed and to see healthcare freedom restored.
No, without a doubt. I mean, Justice Roberts did no one any favors. I say no one except the Obama administration, because on a fly, as you recall, he kind of added that. I mean, he wasn't there to defend the case, but somehow he came from behind the bench and got on the side of the administration and said, oh, no, you want this to be a tax. And, of course, that was the last thing they wanted, because they were insistent. And if we remember the mantra time and again, this is not a tax. It's not going to be a tax, until Justice Roberts said, well, no, it has to be a tax, or there's no way this is going to be justified, and we can support this, right?
That is absolutely correct. And because he did that, and they considered it a tax, well, now if there is no tax, if the tax is gone, what happens to the law? And I think that it's an important question that we have to ask. I have no illusions whatsoever that even if the Fifth Circuit Court rules that it is now unconstitutional, or if they don't, no matter what, it will continue to go to the Supreme Court. And then when it gets to the Supreme Court, no telling what the Supreme Court will do. What I think will happen that we can be pretty sure of is that health care will continue to be an election issue in 2020. Mm-hmm. We have to remind people that there's a difference between quality health care and health insurance. And health insurance does not equal care.
Exactly. Well, and I think that in part they realized it, and this is why there was such a downturn after Obamacare passed, is the reality, and the big lie of Obamacare came out. There was no refuting it. I mean, you weren't able to keep your doctor. Many doctors said, hey, I'm out of here. They went to the exit, so how can you keep your doctor when he's no longer working? And, oh, that $2,500 in savings that you were supposed to get, somehow your premiums were increased by $2,500. What was wrong with this? You know, this whole thing was such a mess, but this was all brought to you by one party and one party alone. Republicans were not involved. As President Obama said very clearly, hey, look at, you know, tough beans here. Elections have consequences and we're in control. And it's our duty to deliver a national health care system to the people. Well, what a mess we've been dealing with ever since.
That is correct. The fact is, when you get so many people who are in the room, in a room, and this is metaphorically speaking, trying to decide what's best for everyone else, you wind up interfering. You interfere with a free market. You interfere with a doctor-patient relationship. And you interfere with the ability for us to get quality health care and affordable health insurance. I would like to see insurance, health insurance, that is portable, meaning that we can take it with us even if we change jobs, the way that you can take a car insurance with you. Mm-hmm. Regardless of where you work, you can get car insurance, and you can choose what car insurance will work best for you, and you can compare prices because there's some transparency for consumers with it.
Exactly.
Right now, the way our system is there's not a lot of choice as to what health insurance we're going to get. It's just basically where you are with your employer.
Well, going back to what you said earlier, I mean, for us to abandon what brought us to the dance and all these other sectors of our lives, the free market system, why would we do this? Why would we abandon free market principles for this? And now the Democrats are doubling down, and they're just saying, oh, which is where we knew this was going, because this is what they always say when they create things that are a mess and they get the government involved. They just say, well, if you'd only given us more money and more time, we could have fixed it, right?
Right. You're exactly right. That's what they say. And the fact is, this issue is just an example of the overarching, I think, the choice that our country has. Are we going to be a socialist country, or are we going to continue to be a society that chooses freedom? That's what it comes down to. And you can't have free markets and capitalism and freedom when you have socialism and you have government and bureaucrats making decisions about everything in our lives, from the kind of health insurance you should have to anything else in your life. And I think that really and truly this is just one example. It's a major example because it affects all of us so personally and intimately. Your health and your body is personal to each human, and this highlights those differences. And when the government gets involved, they start messing with the way economics works, and it messes with prices, it messes with the choice of the kind of doctors you can have, and ultimately the quality of care you will receive.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is that it goes back to the basic question, Jenny Beth, is tell me where it's working. Where has universal health care worked in any country? And, you know, and especially a country the size of America, and as complex as we are, and the fact that we've been raised on liberty, but even in these other countries, you cannot come out and tell me that something is working quite stellar, because where do they look to for innovation and all the research and development and pharmaceutical development? They look to the United States because of the free market system. We're creating that stuff, not them. I mean, these innovations are not coming from these countries where there is this national health care system, because it thwarts creativity, it mediocritizes, you know, the whole medical profession. And do we want that? Do we want a mediocre medical care system here in this country?
I don't. I want a world-class. I want our healthcare system to be so world-class that it winds up being the envy of the world. Not because I want people to be jealous, but because I want other countries to want to have the same thing that we have.
Exactly.
And work to make that possible for their own citizens.
And I think that's the perfect point right there. And this is what Donald Trump has been promoting, is that, look at, you know, if all boats rise in a rising tide, then if we're instrumental in rising that tide, it is going to force our European partners. It's going to force Canada. It is going to put pressure on China and these other countries to step up, will it not?
I think that it would help do that. It absolutely would help do that. And I think that that's one reason why President Trump's desire, and really what I think will be one of his major legacies, that is his America First a doctrine, that is going to be very important in helping bring other countries up. It's not just bringing America up. It's helping elevate the world.
Because we've done it. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. We have done this. When America does better, everybody else does better and rides our coattails. So why is that a problem?
Well, it should not be a problem. It's very sad and frustrating that when we see members of Congress who are apologizing for our country, very much the way that President Obama apologized for our country, that's very, very concerning. I think that we... I'm not saying that our country is perfect. I'm not saying the human beings and the citizens and non-citizens and none of us are perfect.
Exactly. Well said. Jenny Beth Martin, president, co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots. Where can they go for more information, Jenny Beth?
Go to teapartypatriots.org. Again, that's teapartypatriots.org.
Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards and your mortgage, but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts, and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender, and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now, 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Give them a call right now, 800-700-8068.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Ben Martinez.
He's been known to cure narcolepsy just by walking into a room. His organ donation card also lists his beard. He's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Bill Martinez died.
I'll tell you, to hear other people talk, it's quite humbling, really. And it's always better when they talk about you because they make you great, bigger than you actually are. Hey, welcome. Good to have you with us. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Rachel Babard is joining us now, Senior Director of Policy at the Conservative Partnership Institute. Rachel, did you sleep okay last night after all the wackiness on the floor of the House and everything that was going on? Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild time.
I mean, the speaker gets, you know, put on timeout for a little bit, says she ran it by the parliamentarian. Maybe she misspoke there just a bit because the parliamentarian looked at it and said, I don't think that's acceptable. And so then she had to be put on timeout. But the Democrats, of course, gave her cover and let her come back. And, you know, but the one thing last night did prove to us is that Nancy Pelosi has the ability to actually censor individuals. You know, I thought maybe she lost all sight of that when it was time for her to take on Omar and a couple of the other radical freshmen, but she didn't want to name them directly. And because she didn't, this is one thing begets the other. If you do not take care of a problem right away, then it complicates itself down the road, does it not?
That's right, and I think that's exactly what we're seeing now, is you're seeing these four women sort of take over the House Democrat Party. Nancy Pelosi is really not in charge anymore. It is up to what they're colloquially
right.
Whatever they want, they sort of issue on social media and in the press. And if anyone opposes them, they claim racism or victimhood. And you're seeing this used against Trump, obviously, but you're also seeing it used against Nancy Pelosi. I mean, these four have said, well, she's singling us out and we're all women of color,
right,
implying that Nancy Pelosi is a racist. And you're seeing Pelosi, I think, bend to their will. But last night was pretty insane. Amazingly, you know, not even the substance of the procedural matters that were going on, but the fact that the House of Representatives, part of our bicameral Congress, spent that many hours of floor time condemning a tweet, passing a resolution to condemn a tweet. Meanwhile, you know, the border is on fire. We have an opioid crisis. Higher ed is crushing, you know, people trying to get jobs. Like, we actually have meaningful problems going on in this country. And this is where the House of Representatives, the Democrats, would rather spend their time is condemning a tweet than actually solving, substantive policy crises in America, and I think that tells you everything you need to know about today's modern Democratic Party.
Exactly. And what do the four women have accomplished? I mean, the only thing that I can think of that AOC has accomplished is she chased out Amazon and thousands of jobs, in a community that would have loved to have six-figure jobs come into the area. And the land, the property that Amazon was going to build on is an absolute blight. But she has done that. Meanwhile, President Trump has, and his administration has created millions of jobs, and this one voice has been given a lot of presence. Thank you very much, mainstream media.
That's right, and I think it's important to point that out. They have actually zero legislative accomplishments, and that is what the Congress and congressmen and women are supposed to be doing is legislating.
Mm-hmm.
And they have really just run on these, run for these seats to use them as a platform, a social media megaphone, which to their credit, they've done well. But I would remind people that only 7% of the American population is on Twitter, and that's where they get most of their authoritative voice. So
Right. When
it comes time for them to run for re-election, I'm not sure what they can point to that they've actually substantively accomplished. They have managed to change the tenor of the conversation on the Democratic Party, so that is something. But I'm not sure that that's going to be enough to gain nationwide support. You're seeing the Democrat Party become far more progressive and swing far more to the left than they otherwise would. So I think that's going to be something they're going to have to grapple with coming.
Well, it's exploding heads over there, Rachel. I mean, look at forget about the moderates. The moderates have been left in the dust. And they're just kind of standing around. They don't even know what to say. And if they say something, they're going to get invalidated in a heartbeat because, especially with these four gals given so much, place anymore, they throw out the race card and boom, you're done. And, we've been talking about this quite a while now that, I call it the spirit of invalidation. And, roughly it's this small group of people that have decided who's going to have place and who's going to be able to talk. And this is what drives them nuts about Trump, because there is nothing that they can embrace about Donald Trump, regardless of, low unemployment, record numbers in the stock market, what's happening on the international stage, what the administration has been able to. There is nothing that they can embrace because it's all about ideology, and Donald Trump and conservatives do not fit into their bucket whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right. And this whole idea of cancel culture, which is canceling things that are somehow mm-hmm. deemed too sexist or too racist or too white, that's exactly what we're seeing sort of writ large mm-hmm. on the American stage. And just before coming to talk to you, I was looking at the last month, things that we've decided to cancel in the culture, the left has, because they're too sexist, too racist, or too white. So we've canceled the Betsy Ross flag. Mm-hmm. We've canceled the White House because it was built by slaves. We've canceled the moon landing because it was all white men.
Mm-hmm.
We've canceled dog ownership because that's reminiscent of slavery. And we've also canceled air conditioning because it's sexist against women who are cold.
And this is so. Just beginning, right?
This was just in the last month, yes.
Yeah, well, get ready. And the interesting thing is the weaponization of the left. They've got these weapons, and they've got to shoot somebody, or shoot at somebody. And what they started to do, as I mentioned earlier, they started shooting at their own. They were shooting at the leader of the House. And so it's like, well, get ready. I mean, you let this vitriol fly, and it wasn't that long ago that Nancy Pelosi was spouting racist comments, and rather uncivil comments about conservatives and particularly President Trump. So here it is. Now it's come back to land on her, and we'll see how many other Democrats are going to be part of the collateral damage in the process.
Yeah, I do think, you are seeing the Democrat Party sort of evolve in front of our eyes. I mean, mm-hmm. this is, like you were saying, the moderates have no place in the party anymore. The party belongs to this fringe left, and this is what it looks like. And so if there was any sort of genius in President Trump making these four women the face of the Democrat Party, the genius is that we're all seeing it. And this is, is this what people want to vote for and to govern? That remains to be seen, but I think we're getting a clear picture, a clear taste of it just in these last 24 hours.
Well, I promise we're going to get into the High-Skilled Immigration Act that we're going to talk about here in just a moment. But one final question. Do they pull the I card? Do they go impeachment?
I think that's where they're heading. I don't think that Pelosi has much control or much guiding direction over her caucus anymore. I think that's very evident. She does not want to go down the road of impeachment. She has said we don't have, it needs to be bipartisan. I think she's recalling a lot of the Clinton impeachment that backfired on Republicans. Her political instincts say no, but the rest of the, this fringe of the conference does not support this, and I think they're going to drag the rest of the party kicking and screaming down that road, and I don't think it's going to be good for Democrats.
For a long time, I didn't think they were going to, but I think they could, and it could happen fairly quick, especially on the heels of all this recent brouhaha and the obvious, as you point out, consideration is that Nancy Pelosi is no longer in control, that it is this hard left element that is going. I mean, after all, I mean, it's kind of amazing to hear them talk, because even Tlaib, talks about civility, and I go, wait a minute, you were the one on the night of your election that talked about, going in and impeaching the MF-er. So somehow that language is okay. But anything else that says, hey, maybe if you don't love the country, you should leave. But it wasn't that you should leave, get the heck out of here. I think, the other important part is the part two of that sentence, and that is that he said, then come back. Come back and teach us how.
Right. Yeah.
But that's admitted.
No, I think he was obviously making the point that, these women have benefited only, their stories are only possible in the United States of America.
Amen. Amen.
And you can dissent all you want, but you got to love this country if you're going to work in its best interest.
Okay, so let's talk about the big sop to big tech here, the High-Skilled Immigration Act. Break that down. We got a couple of minutes, so I'll let you summarize that.
Yeah, this bill passed the House last week, and it really was purchased by Google and Facebook and a lot of these big tech companies, essentially getting themselves a carve-out for green cards for Indian and Chinese immigrants, high-skilled workers who they are waiting to hire in a lot of these companies. They have outsourced a lot of their tech support to these other countries, but they import a lot of cheaper foreign workers.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill allows them to do that. It's going to, basically mean that we only get Indian and Chinese green card holders for the next decade, because it removes the country caps that were limiting, making sure our green card dispersal was diverse. That
right.
is now gone under this bill that passed the House. Remains to be seen if it's going to pass the Senate, but the larger point here is, look, we have a problem with our immigration system. We're ignoring it. We're not fixing it, except if you're Google and Facebook and can
exactly.
Buy your way to a solution.
Yeah, that's an excellent point there. And the fact of the matter is that it was bipartisan. So these chicken littles, they...
Everybody's taking money from Google.
Is it just amazing? And then here it is, we're hearing about how Google is working in the back door with China, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's right. It is a corrupt system. And thankfully, I think there's a few members of Congress that do want to look into it. But again, the power that Google and Facebook have on Capitol Hill is astonishing.
Well, and this is the same group that said they're not going to allow, according to Veritas, they're not going to allow 2016 to happen again, right?
Yeah, no, the big tech companies, I think there's a lot to unravel there.
Exactly.
Some members are starting to look into it.
She's the Senior Director of Policy at the Conservative Partnership Institute, Rachel Bavard. Rachel, as always, appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Most of